and there is food very close to the boundaries of the park. Portland is known as a food city, so it doesn't seem to us that it's necessary to bring food into the park when there is food nearby. And picnic baskets are certainly welcome, but we think that having food in the park goes against kind of the more natural character of the park, particularly with the options that are close by.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Council and Mayor. My name is Kristen Shorey. I've been on the Sylvan Highlands Neighborhood Association Board since 2011, and I currently serve as president. Our neighborhood shares its long eastern border with the Hoyt Arboretum, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the Forestry Center, the Children's Museum, and Washington Park. And in 2011 and 2012, both Arlington Heights and Sylvan Highlands were invited to participate in a series of 18 strategic planning meetings about the future of Washington Park. So that's when I began thinking about the future of Washington Park. These meetings led to the creation of the Washington Park TMA, which is now the nonprofit Explore Washington Park. Collaboration and transparency were further instilled in the stewardship of Washington Park with the addition of two board members on the Explore Washington Park board from Sylvan Highlands and Arlington neighborhoods, as well as two public at-large board members. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Sylvan Highlands is delighted that this collaborative effort has continued throughout the process of creating a master plan to preserve and improve our beloved natural neighborhood park. Thank you to Emily Roth and all of her team for their hard work in putting together this comprehensive plan and incorporating many thoughts and ideas expressed by the public. As the final version of Phase 1 incorporated public feedback, we believe it is now a solid start to enhancing and strengthening the long-term vitality of the natural areas of the park. Sylvan Highlands is delighted with the additions of the Natural Area Protection, the Dark Sky Initiative, the removal of invasive species, and the addition of native plants. And we look forward to seeing the data that will be collected from Explore Washington Park's traffic study. Especially excited that it's being moved forward. With our changing, unpredictable climate, we're very concerned about wildfire. And so we're especially pleased that the resiliency plan is being put into place. One of the main goals of both Washington Park and the master plan is to get people out of their cars. On page 42 of the master plan, it states, moving cars to the edges of Washington Park, creating a pedestrian and bicycle path separate from cars, and increasing active transportation options ranked as the highest priorities from those who participated in both the in-person and online open houses. We strongly urge the council and parks to listen to the wishes of the citizens and adhere to the stated goals of the plan by closing Kingston Boulevard to cars and use this existing road and grading for the multimodal path and the one-way shuttle route. This would allow the existing railway lines to bring back the historic beloved Washington Park train. This alternative solution has many benefits. First and foremost, it is fiscally responsible, as it utilizes existing grading and road improvements and can be done quickly, with the potential of saving millions of dollars from Phase 1. Secondly, it meets the key goals of reducing cars in the park and encourages other modes of getting through the park, serving bicyclists, pedestrians, and the shuttle. And finally, it restores a historical venue and allows several agencies to work together in its implementation. The train is a fun, memorable alternative for getting between the north and south venues of the park. I've included an email about the current state of the Washington Park rail line from Don Moore, the director of the zoo, in my submitted written testimony. He states that while the trail concept is appealing, Metro and the zoo are still a long way from a shared vision to abandon the Washington Park rail line. We understand that the archery range is important and that the archery community would like to be able to keep vehicle access. They're in the middle of Kingston. But what about the shuttle? Can we find another place within the park to set up the archery range? The benefits of closing Kingston Drive to cars warrant a thorough look at options for the archery range. The success of the shuttle is a testament to the public's ability to adapt and embrace change. Let's keep this momentum going and create a true multimodal option within the park. We agree with Arlington that the implementation of Phase 2 and Phase 3 should be addressed later with another round of public input. Sylvan Highland strongly supports the future building of a parking lot at the south end of the park, the Westgate parking lot, just off Highway 26. It's a perfect place for people to leave their cars and begin their Washington Park experience. This location could serve as a shuttle stop as well as an external welcome food center and a food cart location. The zoo already runs shuttles from here during peak times. It's a natural way to further ease car congestion and encourage a full park experience. Thank you for your time and consideration and helping us make Washington Park the jewel of the Portland Park system. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks both for you for your testimony.
Thanks. We're now ready for the sign-up sheet.
Very good. So how many people do we have signed up, Carla?
We have 21.
All right. So we have 21 people signed up. Is there anybody who didn't sign up who wants to? Why don't you go ahead and sign up, and then we'll close the list after that, please. So we have 22 people signed up. 3 minutes each, name for the record. I have a helpful suggestion, which is my suspicion is we're going to hear a lot of testimony that sounds similar. So if somebody has already made your points, feel free to simply say, I agree with that point, and cut your testimony short. We don't need to hear 3 minutes of the same concerns. We will duly register that. If you're a lobbyist, please state so. And if you're here representing an organization, that's helpful to know as well. Name for the record, we do not need your address.
First three, please come on up, are Kathy Rudd, Cynthia Harayama, and Steve Bloom. And they'll be followed by Drake Snodgrass, Tracy McDonald, and Alan Barker.
Thanks for being here. Welcome.
Thank you. I'll try and stay 6 inches back. Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for listening. My name is Kathy Rudd. I'm a member of the Portland Japanese Garden and the former board president. I'm speaking today because I'm concerned about the impact this master plan will have on our community. Commissioner Fritz, when we met on Monday, you had asked me to consider parking in a smart park downtown and taking public transportation. Honestly, it sounded very reasonable. So I mapped it out, and here's what I found. Coming from the west side, I would drive past the garden and into downtown to the Smart Park at 10th and Yamhill. That's about 20 minutes from my house. From there, I would walk to the MAX stop, one block away. Then I would take the MAX to the Providence Park station. That takes another 10 to 15 minutes. I'd get off the MAX and wait for bus number 63. Now, that bus only runs once an hour. However, my understanding is that there could be a Washington Park shuttle that would come more frequently, say maybe every 30 minutes. Assuming it does, that would roughly take another 30 minutes. That would take me to the Japanese Garden, where I would take their shuttle to get up the hill, which usually takes 5 to 10 minutes. So already, I've been in transit for over an hour. By the time I'm ready to leave, I would have to buy a new fare and do the whole process in reverse. When I added it up for me and my husband, we would pay $15 for parking and transit, and we spent more time in transit than we have in the garden. And then I thought about my 86-year-old mom, who has had a hard time walking up and down stairs, and how difficult all those transfers would be for her. I thought about the members who come in the morning just before work to get a little dose of tranquility before they start their day. I thought about the impact that this plan would have on all of our community, and it felt like the opposite of what Portland is all about. Commissioner Fritz, you mentioned in our meeting that parks like Yellowstone National Park are eliminating parking inside the park. But the difference between our own Washington Park and places like Yellowstone or Zion National Park is that first and foremost, Washington Park serves a city, our city, Portland, and the people who live in and around it. One of the best things about Portland is the easy access we all have to beautiful green spaces like Washington Park. Easy access to green spaces keeps our citizens healthy and active. It keeps our city livable. Easy access creates community. Please don't treat us like a group of tourists. Please keep Portland special. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I just ask a follow-up question? Because it's my understanding, having heard the parks director speak, that the number of parking places in the park through... Where did Mike go?
Yeah, it's not going down.
It stays the same. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the concern is the parking very close to the Japanese gardens will be less.
So it's not the number of spaces, it's the location that concerns you. I see.
But just to clarify, if I was taking transit, I would not get off the MAX to get on a 63 bus. You take the MAX to the park, and then there's going to be enhanced shuttle service. Because I agree, that would not make any sense at all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners, and thank you to many of the commissioners or their staff who met with us in the past couple of weeks. My name is Cynthia Hariyama. I'm the deputy director at the Portland Japanese Garden. I'm also the board president of Explore Washington Park. But I'm speaking on behalf of the garden today. Over the past 18 months during this master plan process, the Portland Japanese Garden and the other cultural institutions, TriMet and Explore Washington Park, have all repeatedly voiced our concerns that the Washington Park master plan was not addressing what our community is most concerned about, which is access to the places within Washington Park. As recently as February 5th, three of the cultural institutions, including the zoo and the Japanese garden, submitted a letter to Portland Parks reiterating the same concerns which we feel have not been addressed. At that time, TriMet also told us that under the current iteration of the master plan, that they would not be able to service the park. These were all internal conversations because we respect Portland Parks and all the hard work that they have put into this process. The 11th hour answer from Parks was to add some language in the master plan that would task a further process with addressing some of these issues. Yet we still see a problem because we feel the cart was put before the horse. The number one problem in Washington Park today, and presumably for the next 30 years, is access. How people get to the places within the 480-acre park that they actually want to visit. So it seems backwards to get to do anything but solve access first. We're happy to see that in the past 2 weeks, since we publicly voiced our disapproval of the master plan, that Portland Parks has addressed some of the concerns of the zoo and TriMet. It's noteworthy that no such commitments have been made to the Japanese garden. The fact that these conciliations from Portland Parks are coming within the last 2 weeks illustrates to us that this plan is still incomplete. 44% of the projects in the master plan are now contingent upon that future planning effort. Other critical parts of the plan, such as year-round shuttles, enhanced shuttles, have no cost estimates or plans within the master plan. We already know what it costs to run shuttles a third of the year. It's $577,000 a year. So to run year-round shuttles and have to run them to more places has got to be over $1 million additional that will have to be spent on shuttles. We ask that the City Council accept the master plan today as a work in progress, but delay approval of the master plan until it is complete and provides viable solutions to enable our community to access the many special places within Washington Park. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. Thank you for having us here today. My name is Steve Bloom. I'm the CEO of the Portland Japanese Garden. And I think we're all in agreement, and we hear a lot about the transportation issues and parking issues and all of that in the park, and we are in agreement that that is the biggest concern that we have. And it would be great if we could just triple the parking. We know that's never going to happen, and we don't ask for that. We do have concerns, as you would ask, Mayor, about the proximity of that parking. We have a different audience on our end of the park from the other side of the park. And so while the parking on the other side of the park has maintained its proximity, of course those organizations are going to be thrilled with that. Ours, in fact, are being displaced farther and farther away from the garden through this plan. That wouldn't be so bad if our users were similar to the other side of the park, which tend to be more active users, younger users, families who can get around more easily. But in fact, 60% of our visitors are right here from Portland, and they tend to be 65 years or older. And so those users recently, as you know, have invested $37 million in the expansion of the Japanese Garden. But I don't believe that they invested that money with the idea that we would, through this plan, be making it harder for them to get to the garden, for them to access the garden. And so, yes, there will be shuttle service, but when you use that shuttle service, and if you took a bus and it's on and off one bus, a public bus, to get to the parking lot, and then onto a shuttle there, over to our shuttle, onto our shuttle, off of our shuttle, and then do it all over again, if you are 65 or 70 or 80 years old, which is what our side of the park users tend to be, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. So for you and me, no problem. I'm happy to park farther away, but that's not the reality of our users. And so to take that entire group and population of users to the park, and by the way, this year will be 500,000 and 17,000 members to the garden. So it's not a small number. It's and we tend to be the number one tourist attraction in the city of Portland as well. To continue to put barriers for our side of the park is something that we have concerns about. And so we believe there's many good parts to this plan, and we endorse many parts of the plan. But and as Cynthia said, we've seen that many parts have been addressed, but we feel that these issues have not been addressed. We feel like they came to our board, and our board expressed that, and that those things were ignored. So we want to continue this conversation. We want to delay the approval of this plan until we have a chance to have further conversations around this. It should be telling that there is not a unified, rousing endorsement of this plan by the organizations within the park. That should be telling. Of course, I can only speak for the garden, but I hope you hear our frustration that the community has donated $37 million to this only to be met with more barriers to enjoying the fruits of their labor. Thank you very much.
So could I ask a question of Steve or Cynthia?
Sure.
Or Kathy? So I'm sympathetic to what you say, but I also want to play devil's advocate a little bit.
Sure.
Any thought of the garden running its own shuttle down to the lower level parking lot?
Well, we do already run a shuttle.
No, I mean, not the lower level.
The
future parking lot.
Sure, but I think we have to have those conversations. It's an expensive prospect, right? We're already running our own shuttle. Now to take it further, again, it adds staff for us and time and vehicle maintenance, and because now we're doubling the distance that we have to send our own shuttle and the time it takes for people to get up once they got on the shuttle. So we need time to study that and have those conversations, but we were never through this process given the opportunity to really explore any of those options.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We'll get staff back at the end.
Okay, good. Thank you. Appreciate all three of you. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Drake Snodgrass, Tracy McDonald, and Alan Barker, and they'll be followed by Hillary McKenzie, Lisa Califf, and Mary Vogel.
Sir, would you like to start for us?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Council and mayors, welcome, and thank you again for this opportunity. And I'm speaking to you as a person who grew up in the city from the time I was 0 to 13.
Thank you, sir. And could you say your name for the record?
Tracy McDonald.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, and my great-grandparents kind of supported, and in the 20s worked with the Bears Zoo activity, and we're in the Rosarian Society. My grandparents worked in the time that we built, and I contributed a few cents to the OMSI building and to that area, and we've been frequent users of the park. And I would support the majority of what you're trying to do here. I also want to state that I work on the transportation board in my city in Clay County of Clatsop, at sunset. And we did, in the past, felt that rail transport of people and really wasn't necessary to Seaside anymore historically. So we abandoned that and removed those tracks. And now if you try to leave the city of Seaside on Sunday or that afternoon, it takes you a considerable amount of time. I would support and try to realize the improvement of continuing the rails in their form and make it more efficient, maybe make a frequency change to make that better. That was really support transportation and people movement. And you wouldn't be in the situation where we're in.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Barker, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, and colleagues. My wife and I are neighbors, frequent users, and fervent supporters of the Japanese International Rose Gardens, and we walk the trails almost every day of the week. I've read the master plan, attended meetings, including the listening session just last evening with Explore Washington Park. Others have spoken more eloquently than I can about the need to review the transportation issues, and I echo those needs, and I think I'll stop right there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Drake Snodgrass. I'm a local business owner and a lifetime Oregonian. I'm also a volunteer board member at the Portland Japanese Garden. And as board treasurer, I'm concerned about the current vision of the Washington Park Master Plan, specifically how it will impact the Japanese Garden's revenue stream. I'm treasurer, so you might imagine. From what I've seen, the master plan only addresses about half of the park's access problems for the future. And to be frank, it does not have very good solutions for the north side of the park, where the Japanese and the Rose Gardens are located. With our recent Japanese Garden expansion, the community, as was mentioned earlier, invested $37 million in the park, in the garden, in the Japanese Garden, on the assumption that people would have full and easy access to the Japanese Garden. Maybe not the right assumption, but it sure was something that seemed to be a logical and good assumption. Not only does this plan not make it easier, it actually makes getting to the garden much more difficult by moving parking a quarter of a mile away. So a quarter of a mile away maybe doesn't sound like too far, too much, but there's an elevation change of 200 feet. And so that's like walking up 20 flights of stairs. A bit of an effort for a walk, maybe not so much for a shuttle, but walking is one of the anticipated ways to get through the park. The Japanese Garden is a nonprofit, and we rely on our admission revenue to sustain the organization, and its purposes is to create a place of culture, understanding, cultural understanding, a place where people can connect to nature, something special to my heart, and a place to experience peace. I think that's something that we could all use a little bit more of. This place is good for the community, and it's good for our local economy, too. We work with local businesses for goods used in the cafe, the gift store, and in the garden itself. And we also employ 103 full-time employees year-round with full benefits. That number goes up in the summertime, and all of these jobs are above minimum wage by a significant amount. So let me illustrate how this could truly impact us with some statistics. Taking away the parking along Southwest Kingston would take away about 60 spots, not counting ADA parking. Those 60 spots are responsible for as much as 36% of our admission revenue, about half on average drive and then attend the garden. And it's fewer in the summer. It's more because local people in the wintertime visit the garden. So even if you lose half of that 36%, say 18% of our admission revenue, over $1 million of our revenue is gone. So we're asking the council to delay approval of this master plan until it's complete. It realistically solves the access challenges in the park, and it ensures access through a variety of solutions to places where people already want to go.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
I apologize. I missed the beginning of your testimony. And if I ask you a question that's already been answered, I apologize for that, too. But so that technically what we're being asked today to do is to accept the report?
We would like you to accept the report, not adopt it, but accept it.
And it's my understanding we're not adopting it, we're accepting
Correct.
It.
And that's what we are doing.
And I just want to be clear, that means we are literally transferring it from the Parks Bureau to the council, but we're not adopting it. That's not the motion before us. I just want to make clear on that. But I'd like to talk to you about the Japanese garden for a moment. And obviously, congratulations for all the work that you've done. And now it looks like your architect's about to design for the Olympics. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Would you remind me, how many spots are there now in the dedicated parking that's part of the redesign for the Japanese garden?
I don't have that totally accurately, but around 40, I think, is
so, Commissioner, what I'm proposing is to have the testimony, all of it, and then we'll bring staff back to get your detailed questions answered.
Okay, and just then one other observation.
34 is the number.
Pardon me?
34 spots.
Okay, and another question I'll have for staff is the parking that would be lost under this plan that's adjacent to the tennis courts, When I lived on in Grant Park and used to drive to Washington Park, I don't ever remember being able to get a spot along that way because it was always filled with people that got there before me. Maybe they were there because they were playing tennis. Maybe they just were early birds. But I never had much luck finding parking there. And I'm curious about how meaningful that parking is generally. But my understanding is this proposal before us at least preserves the parking that's part of the redesign. So that would remain, correct?
It does, yeah. Our visitors turn around about every 2 hours, okay. and I come to the garden often, and yeah. I have a different experience. I always have found a spot, and I'm thankful for the fact that I can.
Well, I'm going to get a consultation with you privately because you obviously have some strategy that I need to know about. And again, separate and apart from the decisions we'll be making over the next year, I hope you understand how proud the city is in the work that has been done at the Japanese Garden, because it's put us on the map globally, and we're extremely proud of that.
Well, thank you, and we love our relationship with the city, and Mike is a great guy, good friend, great plan, just need to slow down a little bit and work with it. Thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Next three, please, Carla.
Our Hillary McKenzie, Lisa Colliff, and Mary Vogel. And they'll be followed by Anna Goldrich, Don Moore, and Carol Mayer Reed.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hillary McKenzie. I serve on the board of Arlington Heights, and I'm president of Neighbors West Northwest Neighborhood Coalition. My opinions today are those of mine and are not authorized specifically by those boards. I strongly support the testimony of Arlington Heights and Sylvan Highlands Neighborhood Associations. Our neighborhood has been asking for a master plan for Washington Park for decades, and Parks has produced one. I have also strongly supported public involvement in planning for the park. You might remember I came before City Council in 2014 appealing the lack of public notice and public involvement in the decision to expand the commercial presence of the Japanese Garden within Washington Park. In the past, any special interest group that brought money to the table has been able to build within the park in spite of public objections and the resultant loss of public open space. The Bureau of Parks has come a long way in improving their public outreach for the Washington Park Master Plan. Public notification has been comprehensive. There have been opportunities for public input. But that said, there is room for improvement in allowing for public input. Much of the proposed development in the Washington Park Master Plan, particularly in phases 2 and 3, arose out of the survey for the plan and open houses held to discuss the plan. There is considerable public objection to the proposed development in the later phases of the plan. The survey that circulated online and in the public forums had many multiple choice questions where one could select which 10 or so development options were preferred, but there were never options for no development, maintain green spaces, none of the above, or blank. I and many others I have spoken to all had similar frustrations with the survey. We could either not answer the questions or select the least damaging options. Most of us wrote additional comments at the end, so the starting premise for the master plan was always how to develop, not if development was a good idea in the park. And by development, I mean standalone attractions that would likely require an admission fee, increased paving, and removal of natural green spaces. The proposed new development within the master plan is driving much of the $94 million price tag for the execution of the plan. The neighborhoods surrounding and adjacent to Washington Park are extremely park-rich. Over 90% of these neighborhood households are within a half-mile walking distance to a park. Meanwhile, most of East Portland and parts of North Portland are severely park-deficient. Less than 75% of households in those neighborhoods have access to a park within a half-mile. The Bureau of Parks has a $430 million maintenance backlog. The Bureau of Parks was also asked for across-the-board 5% budget cuts this year. It is impossible to reconcile the high cost of the master plan build-out with the realities of the park budget and park needs citywide. Lastly, I support the need for a comprehensive transportation management plan as called for in Phase 1 of the master plan. This should have a component for public review and input. One of the concerns with the Japanese Garden commercial expansion was the impact on traffic, parking, circulation, and emergency vehicle access in and around the park. I'm almost done.
Two more sentences, then we need to wrap it up. There's okay. A lot of people waiting.
You will recall that representatives of the Japanese Garden testified the transportation impacts from their expansion would be minimal. They presented a traffic study to support that view. Neighborhoods objected that the traffic study was completed in November and did not reflect future reservoir improvements. Consultants often develop reports that support the goals of their clients, so we think it's essential that there's continued public input, both in the transportation management plan and the review of such, and then the ongoing phases of the park. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm Lisa Califf, and I live near Washington Park. My neighbor told me that my comments are radical, so I just want to prepare you. So I'm going to talk about parking.
Love it.
World class is a phrase that is used to describe aspirations for Washington Park. Washington Park is truly a beautiful place, but if we want a world-class park, we must avoid creating a world-class parking problem. Parking lots are not world-class solutions. They are not a 21st century answer to the problem of increasing vehicle traffic. As more and more people come to enjoy Washington Park, the master plan must ideate other methods for getting people to the park and moving them around once they arrive. Portland is already behind the eight ball on this issue. Traffic into the park is nightmarish. Metering was introduced in 2014, but has it helped? Metering revenue paid for the master plan has provided rangers and a shuttle, but it has also funded an entirely new bureaucracy. And though the mission of Explore Washington Park is to address transportation issues, the use of individual vehicles for accessing the park has not been meaningfully reduced. Some say that metering has made parking worse as drivers avoid meters to park on nearby streets. Parking lots and metering are an obsolete fix. They are a way to obtain revenue from vehicles coming into the park, not a way to discourage them. It will be difficult to wean ourselves from cars and meters because we've attached a revenue stream. Indeed, we have people whose jobs depend upon the funds generated by metering, that is, by every car that drives to Washington Park and parks there. Moving vehicles to the edge of the park is celebrated as a solution to congestion, but this only shifts vehicles to other communities. Off-site parking lots are not a panacea. They merely transfer the stress and blight to a different location and then add the burden of shuttling people. If you've ever been to Disneyland, you've seen the sea of concrete that has been poured for cars. It is an armpit of ugliness. We can't let this happen to Washington Park. Yet, death by increments seems to be the de facto policy. One more lot here, a few spaces there. Additional parking is simply adding a lane to a freeway. It is a retrograde formula that has no place in a modern plan. Why do we look backward for solutions that have already failed? If we continue to accommodate vehicles, there will be no end to the numbers that will come. Washington Park has reached saturation, and the master plan must innovate away from individual vehicle use to access the park. We can be more creative. Public transit must cost less than driving and parking. We have a max stop at the zoo, and a zoo train should be revived to move people within the park. This is a place to start. At a minimum, Explore Washington Park should encourage all Portland residents, with carrots, not sticks, to use public transit. And I have a slogan: Explore Washington Park, but leave your car at home. I have more. Call me. The way forward, truly the future for any world-class park, is to cultivate strategies that limit and ultimately inhibit individual vehicle use as a primary mode of access so that we can all enjoy the peace and serenity of the park. As Portland grows, we must drive less if we are to enjoy our lives. Let's create a world-class park by being the first truly innovative American city to renegotiate its relationship with cars.
I hope you stay engaged. Thank you.
That was great, but now we're all going to be thinking of slogans. So it could be Washington Park, but not that kind.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, I started there. I went down that rabbit
hole. Stick with your day job. Stick with your day job.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor.
So I'm Mary Vogel, speaking for myself and my planning consulting business, Plan Green. I live in downtown, where I'm also on the Downtown Neighborhood Association Land Use and Transportation Committee, and also active in Oregon Walks. I've led a number of trips to Washington Park from downtown for a Sierra Club and Oregon Mycological Society. Since I gave up my car a few years ago, the park has become extremely important for my mental, spiritual, and physical health, and I walk there nearly every weekend. On one of those weekends, President's Day, February 18th of this year, I was hit by a car as I was coming back from the park, so I am especially interested in the neighborhood's proposal to remove private cars from Southwest Kingston Drive. Just like the driver who hit me, and he was making a right turn on red from Southwest Vista onto Southwest Park Place, I found that many drivers on Southwest Kingston don't watch for crossing passengers, or they expect pedestrians to yield the road to them and not vice versa. So I agree wholeheartedly that removing private cars from Southwest Kingston Drive and converting it to a multimodal bike pedestrian shuttle path should be included in phase one of the plan to eliminate that $10 million line item from the phase one budget. I suggest you put some of that money into moving the archery range to a new location, reopening the zoo train, and perhaps creating more habitat for wildlife and a more enjoyable environment for those of us seeking to use the park as more passive recreation activities by removing invasive species and replanting native species that are now proposed in phase one. I've been sending comments on this plan since I first read about it while visiting the park. After taking the online survey, I was dismayed that it seemed that none of my input had been taken into account. Many thanks to my neighbors from Arlington Heights and Sylvan Highlands, neighborhood associations who served on committees and fought for these things. I am now pleased with the additions of natural areas, natural protection, the dark sky initiative, removal of invasive species, and the addition of native plants and a resiliency plan. I have long thought that Washington Park should do much better by our native wildlife, though I must admit that I really enjoyed watching the nesting barred owls until a veritable army of crows with many battalions chased them off. I agree with Arlington Heights Neighborhood Associate. Well, in any case, I just wanted to finish my sentence. I agree with Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association that implementation of phase two and three should be addressed later with another round of public input.
Thank you.
Mary, I'm very sad to hear that you got hit, and I hope you're doing okay.
Oh, you know, I didn't hear you because I took these things off, so what did...
I just said, I'm sorry, I'm sad to hear that you got hit, and I hope you're doing okay after the car crash.
Oh, I'm also very resilient. Thank you.
You are resilient. That's true.
Next three, please.
Are Anna Goldrich, Don Moore, and Carol Mayer Reed, and they'll be followed by Christy Galen, Ruth Shelley, and Kathy Godell.
It's all yours.
All right. Anna Goldrich on behalf of the Hoyt Arboretum Friends, Executive Director, and Mayor and Commissioners, I appreciate this opportunity to be here today to express our support for the Washington Park Master Plan. And just want to start by saying we really appreciated the extensive public input process for the plan. It was very important for the park neighbors and for many of our members who had many concerns about the plan. The Hoyt Arboretum Friends supports all of the planned improvements outlined for the Arboretum, and we believe they will greatly enhance the visitor experience at Hoyt. And we're pleased that most of these projects will be tackled in phase one of the plan. With limited time, I'm just going to mention a few of our favorite features of the plan. The safety improvements for Fairview Boulevard and Fisher Road have been needed for a long time, as these are increasingly busy roads that cut right through Hoyt. We expect Fisher to see increased traffic when the bridge over Burnside is built. We're excited about that bridge. It'll be an exciting new feature for the park, and this plan creates an opportunity to put some needed infrastructure like parking and trail connections in place before congestion and safety problems occur. We're ready to partner with Portland Parks to find funding to pave a final section of an ADA accessible trail that will run from the MAC station through to the end of our Bristlecone Pine Trail. And I can't think of another place in Portland where you can come out of a MAC station and go on a 2.5-mile hike through the woods. So we're excited to get that finished. The commitment to move the natural area's maintenance staff out of the Hoyt Arboretum Visitor Center is the most important change for us. This will cut by more than half the number of staff working out of our building and create much-needed space for us to engage volunteers and visitors. Our youth education programs doubled in 2017, and we expect them to double again this year. We are serving kids from around the city and really from around the region, and half of the students visiting Hoyt Arboretum this spring are visiting from underserved schools with the assistance of our transportation funds. When we can move these extra park staff to new offices, we will be excited to work with Portland Parks to create a true hub and a worthy visitor center at Hoyt Arboretum. We imagine an engaging place for visitors to explore, an educational resource for scientists, plant enthusiasts in the community, and most importantly for the thousands of children who visit Hoyt Arboretum each year to learn about trees and the role our collections play in global biodiversity. And a future tree canopy walk will create another exciting educational opportunity. This April 25th is the 90th birthday of Hoyt Arboretum, and 2028 will be our 100th. Both offer unique opportunities to engage our members and the public for the benefit of Hoyt Arboretum. Our partnership with Portland Parks is strong, and we expect that to get even stronger as we work together to bring these elements of the plan to life.
Thank you.
Thank you for your partnership, too.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners, I'm Dr. Don Moore. I'm Director of Oregon Zoo. Thank you for having me here today. We've appreciated the opportunity to work with Portland Parks and Rec staff and management and our fellow cultural institutions in the park and the Transportation Management Association Explore Washington Park on this revision to the Washington Park Master Plan. The Oregon Zoo is a treasured world-renowned destination and primary destination within the park, as you know. Over the past decades, we've gone from being a modest-sized community zoo to a world-class education and conservation leader among zoos across the globe. We are the largest paid attraction in Oregon, visited by more than 1.5 million adults and children every year. And as such, the Oregon Zoo is a great contributor to the economy of Portland and the metro region, bringing $101 million per year to this community. We attract the greatest number of visitors to Washington Park and drive the parking revenue that was used to fund this plan revision, as well as management and repairs throughout the park. In 2008, our community made a significant investment by granting the Oregon Zoo a $125 million public bond, which is enabling us to remodel more than 40% of our campus. As a result, we've replaced aging, outdated facilities with stunning new award-winning habitats, an amazing new education center, and green infrastructure that saves energy and water. We're honored and humbled by the enthusiastic support we receive from our community. Our greatest challenge is access. People struggle to get to the zoo. We have the capacity to welcome many more visitors and share with them our important conservation message, but are constrained by the limitations of Washington Park's current transportation and parking systems. Our patrons are mostly families with young children, and as you know, for those of us who have raised kids, it's hard to get around with strollers and bags and extra coats and things like that. But as a conservation organization and part of Metro, we're deeply committed to the use of transit. The practical truth is that it isn't feasible for many of our visitors to Washington Park to come by MAX or train at this time. While the master plan identifies improved access as a primary goal, the zoo, along with other cultural institutions, agree that the master plan as it stands is incomplete. It has not adequately addressed or resolved our access challenges. So I really appreciate the amendment that you offered, Commissioner Fritz, and the other support we're hearing about transportation access. So the master plan proposes that the TMP, once approved by Explore Washington Park, would be adopted by this council as an addendum. And we request that you commit to supporting completion of the transportation management plan and not just add it as an addendum, but fully integrate it into the master plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Carol Mayer Reed. I'm a landscape architect who's worked in Portland for over 40 years. I've worked on parks and open space and transportation projects, the East Bank Esplanade, the Orange Line, and attractions like OMSI, Oregon Zoo, and the Portland Children's Museum. And I was asked by Portland Parks and Rec to be on the Champions Committee. I've followed the process. I've been part of it. I've given advice along the way, and I generally support the plan, and I've seen it adapt in keeping with many of the discussions and requests that have been made. But one thing I've learned in my career is ambitions, hopes, and dreams are unlimited, but physical space is not. It has limits, it has boundaries, and there's a carrying capacity to what can be accommodated. I've spent my whole career, in fact, matching up clients and organizations' ambitions with their physical spaces and their budgets. So obviously, I don't need to tell you that Portland's experiencing huge growing pains all around our city, and we have to adjust our expectations about the reliance of private automobiles. They clog up our roadways, and they take up a lot of physical space. Now, I learned to take my two grandchildren to the zoo and to the Children's Museum using the MAX. For them and for me, riding the train is really half the fun. And yet the attractions in Washington Park remain passionate about the city meeting their demands for parking. It's no surprise to me that the parking issue has risen to the top of the stack. In fact, I knew it would be. The transportation component of the master plan is key to the long-term success of the park, and there's a definite carrying capacity to Washington Park with its topography, its sensitive forests, its gardens, and obviously we have to make choices and place value on physical space. We simply can't make more of it. We haven't figured that out. The master plan works well to value the land while seeking to balance the demand for use, and one example was to eliminate the sports field to gain some additional parking, while another was to relocate the tennis courts to gain open space for arrival and use by visitors in one of the hubs. And so I'll just pause a second and tell you, 3 years ago, I studied Japanese gardens with the University of Oregon in Kyoto, and I toured remarkable landscapes and exquisite treasures of the culture. And in Japan, like many other places, when the crowds became heavy, the experience was significantly diminished. The peace was gone. And it became more important for managing myself within the crowds around me and less about the landscape that I was there to see. We all know about that if you go to Multnomah Falls on a Sunday in the summer. And I've been a member of the Japanese Garden, and there's no doubt the expansion it offers is a world-class example. But it, too, has a carrying capacity, even within its own gates, and I hope they have a good plan for managing the 500,000 visitors to ensure that high-quality experience. I'm sure its leadership is planning for this. But they have to work together with parks to be able to manage this issue. And I just don't want to make sure that no one should expect Portland Parks and Recreation to pave more of our paradise to get there.
Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carla.
Are Christy Galen, Ruth Shelley, and Kathy Goodell, and they'll be followed by Marshall Gannett, Sherry Brown and Dana Karstensen.
And while they're making their way up, I'll just put a reminder out again. If anybody is here waiting for the time certain item at 4 p.m. related to the Central City 2035 plan, we are not going to discuss that today. That's going to be continued to March 22nd at 2 p.m. Good afternoon.
Hey, so I'm Christy Galen, and I appreciate all the efforts that Parks has made and their consultant has made to protect our park. And as a third-generation Portlander, I have been coming to the park since before Packy was born, for those of you who know Packy or knew. I also represented Arlington Heights neighborhood on the Champion Committee. And I've attended every meeting, every open house, and participated in every survey that Parks created. I feel that the public opinion used to justify the master plan has been a bit misrepresented by biased surveys that favored development and commercialization of our public open space. There was never a survey option for maintaining and preserving our park, only choices for new development preferences. I agree with Michael from the Arlington Heights neighborhood about most everything he said. And I will add to that that I think his intent was the food carts that are planned on the north side of the park. The north side of the park is really a unique place. It is like the closest place to the city. It's where you can walk from the city and where a lot of people come up through the trails and visit the park to find quiet, to find peace, to look at the roses, to photograph the roses, to smell the roses, to visit the Japanese garden. They don't come for food. Food is so close by. I think food near the zoo, other food options, is probably the intent of the plan. But to put food carts on the north end of the park where they could be a fire hazard, we all know Santa Rosa, we know the Eagle Creek fire. We don't need food or the potential for fire hazard or to increase rats or to increase crows or to increase garbage on the north end. It'll be a huge maintenance issue, I think, for garbage. I do support having food on the north end like it is now. There's a small cart, but if that could be moved to the Depot Cafe, that would be a win-win. I love that part of the plan, and it's further away from the neighborhood. The other part I really like about the plan is the Dark Sky Initiative. I think that shows a lot of forethought. It's a great educational experience for the public to learn about night sky and being able to see stars, and also it's better for wildlife. I'll leave this with you. But the other thing is there's a bike trail that's proposed on a landslide area in the forest. And if you know single-track bike trails, they become two-lane bike trails, they become 6 to 12 feet wide, and they cause erosion. I'm just hoping that if you allow something like that or want something like that, that you'll look at the environmental impacts that they would cause.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, City Commissioners. I'm Ruth Shelley, Executive Director of Portland Children's Museum, and I'd like to share with you four things. A thank you, a reassurance, a concern, and a request. First, thank you for Portland Children's Museum's long and positive relationship with Portland Parks and Recreation. The museum grew as a parks program from 1946 until 2001, when Rotary Club of Portland raised $10 million to move us to the former OMSI building in Washington Park, and we became our own independent nonprofit. Portland Parks became our landlord and was equally generous with a 30-year lease for $10. Without this dual support, we would never have grown to the organization we are today, welcoming nearly 300,000 visitors per year and operating a thriving preschool, a K-5 public charter school, and a research center within this facility. Sadly, that facility is aging. I want to offer reassurance that where the Washington Park Master Plan calls for our building to be demolished and replaced by a parking lot, we get it. I want you and everyone gathered here today to understand that Parks is not forcing us to move, only to be prepared that in 13 years our lease will not be renewed. My board and I agree with Parks' assessment that further capital investment in our 63-year-old building is not warranted, especially with the city's commitment to environmental sustainability and seismic resilience within its structures. However, this raises a concern about current access to and parking within Washington Park, as you've heard many people express. But for us, during the next decade, as we seek a new home and launch a capital campaign, it will be critical for Portland Children's Museum to prove itself worthy of financial and community support. However, that effort will be for naught if families can't get to Washington Park or find a place to park. I look forward to City Council supporting development of the Transportation Master Plan and approving it as an amendment with full integration into the Washington Park Master Plan so that our present can inform our future. Finally, a request. My board of directors, our staff, and the families we serve are so grateful to Portland Parks and Rec for the support that they have provided for the past 72 years. As partners, we have built a beloved community resource that has a national, in fact, an international reputation for excellence. One sentence. We respectfully ask that the city continue its support of Portland Children's Museum through the transition to our new home so that wherever we land, we will remain partners in success for the sake of our children's city's children and families. Thank you.
Thank you.
I could just ask Ruth the question. You answered a lot of questions that were kind of running through my mind about the Children's Museum, so thank you for your very magnanimous testimony. Does the Children's Museum have any desire to stay in Washington Park, albeit in a new facility? Is that an option or not?
As part of the Washington Park planning process, the planners actually looked to see if there might be another place within the park that we might go, and truly there was not. And so we are accepting of our fate. We just hope that the city will help us as we seek that new home. And we're hoping that we can be even more accessible in our new location.
Okay. Thank you.
When I talked with Michelle earlier this week, we talked about there's a lot of great opportunities in various different places that could increase accessibility to the Children's Museum and perhaps other wonderful new partnerships. So I'm certainly very appreciative of what we've done before, and we've got 13 years, as you said, to find a new spot that's going to be another good home for you.
A lucky number.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
I'm Kathy Gettle. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, Amanda Fritz, Commissioner Fritz, and the rest of the commissioners, and Micah Boddy and Emily. We appreciate being able to talk about the plan. I'm here as a bicycle rider, a hiker, 34-year resident, always living near Washington Park because I love it. The peace and tranquility of the park has often been ruined in recent years by the success of the park. The top three attractions in Portland are all on the north side of the park. So I'm sure you read TripAdvisor and see there they are, 1, 2, and 3, the Washington Park itself, the Japanese Garden, and the Rose Gardens. Looking at the park with this longer view, I feel the park has only deteriorated and diverged from Olmsted's principles in my generation's stewardship. We need a master plan, and we need to adhere to it. Commissioner Fritz did a better job summarizing the history than I could, so I'll skip over all that. But I will say, Winston Churchill said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So from what I've seen, the 1981 master plan was virtually ignored. I'm not aware of any proposal for development or development project in the last 33 years that's been turned down. Individual organizations with the funding and political support trump any negative impact on the park as a park on the whole. There isn't that overall looking at that long-term ability for the park to be the tranquil place that many of us enjoy and desire to be in. So there needs to be this long-term perspective on stewardship of the park. And I'm going to give some current examples, not to be saying bad things about the organizations that did them. They optimize what they can do. We all do. I optimize my things, and the organizations do too. So the beautiful Japanese Garden expansion is world-class, but it came as an expense to the park experience and neighborhood livability. The increases in visitors have caused increased traffic congestion and parking issues in the neighborhood. The expansion took away the most magical trail in the park from the citizens of Portland.